we continue to think about prayer. You know, we've talked a lot over week with Christmas in July, and with the theme of VBS last week, we've talked about Christmas a lot. Of course, with Christmas comes gifts. I want you to imagine for a minute somebody close to you. Maybe it's a son, maybe it's a daughter, maybe it's a spouse, a close friend. You know who those people are that you'd want to give the most precious gifts to in your life. Now I want you to think for a minute of what that gift would be. A gift that would really make a difference in their life. A gift that would keep the two of you connected in a special way. Now think about that gift for a minute, take it to the next level. How would you wrap it up? What would it look like? Would it be in a box? Would the box be the right size? Would it be a bigger size? Would it be something that would kind of fool them when they were looking at it? How would it go? Would you put other things in there with the gift before you wrapped it? Now imagine you take that gift, it's wrapped up perfect, and you give it to that special person on Christmas morning. But Christmas morning is one of those days that sometimes can be overwhelming. Because there's just so many things to unwrap. There's so many preparations to be made for family dinners and company coming over that they don't have time to unwrap it. And so they take that gift and kind of set it aside for a minute. I'm going to come back to it later. And your heart sinks just a little bit. Because you were so looking forward to that look on their face when they unwrapped it and saw what was inside. And so you go through the day together. And lots of things happen and you have a great meal with wonderful company and you see people just rejoicing in times together. But at the end of the day, you're exhausted. Your friend's exhausted. That special someone's exhausted. And so you crawl into bed, leaving the gift still wrapped up there in the corner. But you know the next morning when the sun comes up, that'll be the perfect time to unwrap it. Because it's that day after Christmas when everybody kind of lets down or runs off to the mall to return the things that didn't fit or wasn't really what they wanted. And so that day, the sun rises, the day begins. And suddenly, rushing into the middle of things that come with that day, the gift is forgotten again. And it sits there in the corner. And it stays there as a corner day after day as wrapping paper and boxes are thrown away. As decorations are taken down. As company goes home. It stays there day after day as the snow melts and as the flowers begin to come up through the dead grass. It stays there day after day as the grass turns green and begins to grow. And you rejoice in that fresh look of spring. It stays there day by day, wrapped up just the way it was as the summer begins to get old and you're tired of mowing that grass that looked so fresh on the first days of spring. And it stays there day by day as the leaves change and begin to fall. And it stays there day by day as snowflakes begin to fall and you know that it's time to begin to shop again. Imagine the sorrow in your heart every time you walk by that gift, knowing that that special someone in your life has no idea what's really there inside. I wonder if that sometimes happens with the gift of prayer that God gives us. The gift of a relationship, the gift of being able to draw near to God any time of day, any time in the middle of the night, to share the deepest sorrows that we have, the deepest questions that we have, the greatest struggles of our life, and even the greatest joys in our life. I wonder what that does to God's heart to see that gift laying there unwrapped because we're so busy going from one thing to another as we go through the changing seasons of life. But on those days, whether it's because we're just so excited about something or because we're really wrestling with it, and we're drawn into that place of prayer, I wonder what it does to God's heart then too. You know, I really feel blessed being a part of this congregation, of this church, and of the choir that stands up and shares with us each and every Sunday. But Sundays like this are extra special for me, because the sound of the choir changes for me. Because there, in the middle of all those voices singing from deep within their heart, rises my daughter's voice. And there's something about her voice singing in the middle of a choir or any other kind of group that just brings a smile to my face and warms my heart in a real way. Doesn't matter how big the group is. If my daughter's there in the middle of it all, I can pick out her voice. Anybody else ever been there with your own children when they're doing something? Maybe it's singing, maybe it's playing in a sport, but you know even when they're a part of that crowd, you're looking for them and you know what's happening. I think the same is true of prayer. Sometimes we go through life saying, oh, I can't trouble God with that. God created the world. He doesn't have time to bother with me. But that's just another excuse. God rejoices in the same way when He hears our voice. When God hears us, not because we're struggling in life, but because we're drawing near with those struggles, knowing that God cares. Trusting that God's going to move even in the middle of the unknown. There are many in our midst that are dealing with that journey through grief. And even in those moments when we don't even know what to say, the Bible says when all we can do is let sounds that don't even make sense come up out of us, that God knows what's going on. Paul talks about that in Romans. Talks about the Holy Spirit being there at work, helping God and working with God and working in that relationship in a very real and tangible way. Prayer can happen in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes in words silently spoken in our hearts. Sometimes with words that are screamed out with pounding fists on the floor. Sometimes in writing, sometimes even in songs. Many of the songs that we sing in our hymn books. Our prayer began as prayers from someone's heart, from an experience that they were having in their relationship with God. How do you experience prayer in your life? When is the last time that you drew near to God with those deepest things that were all wound up inside of you? Being willing to share those joys and struggles, even if they come out all at the same time. Trusting that God is there. Asking questions about prayer is nothing new. Jesus invited the disciples to come away time and time again to pray with Him. Sometimes in quiet places, sometimes in quiet rooms where somebody was hurting or sick. And He modeled with them how to pray for those illnesses. Sometimes there were people that were bound up with demons like anger and other bitterness and other things that really had a hold on their life. And Jesus taught the disciples how to pray into those things and to set people free and to find freedom for themselves. Allowing the words of Isaiah 61 to come alive, that Jesus comes to set the captives free. But even in the middle of all the different prayer experiences that the disciples had, they were still constantly wondering how it was that they should pray. And the gospel writers have that question asked in different ways. In the Gospel of Matthew, the model for prayer, Jesus just puts it out on the table. Not only to the disciples, but to all the people that are gathered on the hillside. In what we've come to call the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, you know, and when you pray, don't be like hypocrites and pray, for they love to pray standing out there on the street corners. In other words, don't pray because you want attention. It's not that we can't pray in public. Don't pray because you want the attention. Pray because you know that God is there with you when you pray. And then he moves on through that with some other things. And then he comes to this model of prayer that he offers up to the disciples. It's one that may sound very familiar to you. He says, this then is how you ought to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's a model of prayer that's been changed and adapted and moved, and there's different versions of it. But yet it's a prayer that we learn at a very young age and we're called to bring alive in different ways all through our lives. But it's a model of prayer. While those words are important to take into our heart and it's something that we can turn back to when we have nothing else to turn back to, it offers us a model. God in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're holy, God. You're perfect, God. You see it all the way it is, God. But I want your kingdom to come here like it is in heaven. So often we struggle through life just wallowing through our day-to-day situations, looking for that day when we'll be free from it all in heaven and forget that God wants to bring heaven right here to us. And the ways that that heaven comes to us is through the gift of prayer. Jesus says time and time again in so many different ways that prayer makes a difference. If you say to the mountain, go into the sea, it'll be gone. We forget sometimes and take for granted the gift that it can happen. And sometimes we're not sure what to ask. But even as we pour out our hearts, Jesus comes back to this next point. He says, God, your will be done. Your will be done. You can see the whole picture, even when I don't understand it. I'm asking for what I think I need here. I'm asking for what I think my friend needs here. But you know what needs to happen. And so I'm going to trust you that you're going to be at work in whatever happens. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our sins, our trespasses, even as we forgive those who sin and trespass against us. Isn't it wonderful that God's grace is so much bigger than that statement? Can you imagine if God forgave us as we forgive others? Because I don't know about you, there's sometimes I struggle to forgive. That's because forgiveness is a process. It's a journey. It's something we have to work through, and God knows that. And God meets us all along the way as we learn to do that. He says, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus makes it clear right there. He puts it on the table. It's not all about you guys. You don't see all that's happening. There's spiritual battles that are going on all around you. But don't worry about that. Trust in God, that God can lead you through those battles that rise up. That you'll never be alone in the middle of it all. Of course, when we say the Lord's Prayer, as we've learned it, and as it's printed in the hymnal on number 895 that we use, in this church, we close with a final word. What is that word? Amen. What does amen mean to you when we say that? What's that? The end, sure. Sometimes we just get to that point where it's amen. God, I'm finally done with this. Sometimes we come to that point where it's amen, now I'm going to leave it in your hands. How about others? What does it mean to you? So be it, yes. Yes. Sometimes people see that as we're praying as a community, as a group, that we're saying, yeah, we join together and agree about this. Do you know, I was reading a bulletin insert that Carolyn Knight had sent me that kind of goes with some of the VBS stuff they're doing. And it talks about that word amen in a different way. It's actually a bulletin that's about teaching children to pray. And he says you need to teach the children right from the beginning that amen is not the end of the prayer. It's the middle of the prayer. It says, God, I've offered all these things up to you. And now I'm going to trust that you'll be with me on the road ahead. I don't know about you, but I like that image. I like that image. It reminds me of, as I've told you many times before, and use that illustration in the Old Testament, of God's people on their journey through life, stopping and building that monument, stopping and building that Ebenezer. In the very moment where they remember where God's been on the journey, where they pray for God to be with them on the road ahead, and they celebrate God's presence right there where they're at. After reading that article, I can't help but think that Amen's a little bit like that. Lord, You've been with me through it all. I know You're going to be with me on the road ahead. But boy, I'm so thankful that You're right here with me now in the middle of it all. As you probably noticed in the bulletin, we moved the time of pastoral prayer, the time of joys, sharing joys and concerns, and closing with the Lord's Prayer. We moved it to this point in the service, following the message, because we've had a chance to talk a little bit about prayer and to think a little bit about prayer, reflect a little bit on prayer, ponder prayer in our hearts, and hope that we do as we go forward into the week ahead. But as I said before, prayer was something that Jesus sometimes did in that solitary place. But many times He did it around the campfire. And He did it when He gathered with His disciples. He did it when He gathered with people up on the mountainside, teaching with them and sharing with them about life. Every week we gather and we share that time of pastoral prayer, that time of joys and concerns, lifting up those things that are on our hearts. Knowing that God's, giving thanks that God's been with us along the way, praying for God to be with us on the road ahead, but celebrate that God's right here with us in the here and now. So as we gather this morning, reflecting on prayer, thinking about life, wondering and about where God is in the middle of it all, what are some of the things that You bring that we need to lift up together in prayer? I want to give thanks for the gift of prayer. I also want to ask God's forgiveness for taking that gift for granted, personally. Because so many times it's easy to get up and get caught up in the busyness of every day and forget to take that time to draw near to God, knowing that God can make a difference. And again, why take the time to pray when we can worry? Because worry is so productive, isn't it? Changes everything. No, actually, prayer or worry is like prayer. It's really about changing us as much as changing everything. Worry eats us up from the inside out. Worry tears away all of our energy, robs us of the joy that God wants to give to us. What are some of the things on your heart, other things on your heart? People that we need to pray for.